First.
Good evening, Dave.
How are you doing, Hal?
Everything's running smoothly, and you?
Oh, not too bad.
Have you been doing some more work?
A few sketches.
May I see them?
Sure.
That's a very nice rendering, Dave. I think you've improved a great deal. By the way, do you mind if I ask you a personal question?
No, not at all.
That's 2001, A Space Odyssey. We heard the voice of HAL 9000, the sentient computer in control of the spacecraft. When the movie came out back in 1968, that technology was seen as science fiction, something from the distant future. Well, here we are now with voice-activated speaker hubs like the Google Home and Amazon Echo controlling the climate in our homes and telling us whether our laundry's dry or not. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Are you thinking about jumping into this world of smart home devices, things like the Amazon Echo or the Nest thermostat? Have you already done this, or are you avoiding it? Are you thinking about giving one of these devices as a gift this holiday season? Are you worried about security and privacy? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. With so many of these smart devices on the market, it can be hard to know where to start. Haley Tsukuyama joins us now. She's a technology reporter at the Washington Post. Haley, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, these things were novelties not that long ago, really quite expensive. We're getting to the point now where average consumers have a lot of choices on the market, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. Not only have we seen Google and Amazon really compete heavily for this space, Microsoft has partnered with a company that's owned by Samsung for their own Cortana speaker. And also, you know, we're seeing all of these companies sort of offer speakers at lots of different prices. So, you know, there's a lot more choice this year.
And with that basic system, I don't know even know what we're calling. You just call it hubs, I guess. What do they do? Yeah. What all can we do with them?
Sure. So in sort of basic terms, you can ask them, you know, for the weather, for the traffic. You can ask them, you know, if you want to hook it up to your calendar, you can ask them what you have going on that day. You can ask them sort of basic questions, you know, how many teaspoons in a tablespoon, that sort of thing. And then if you want, you can, you know, if you buy other devices that work with them, smart light bulbs, smart thermostats, then their skills really expand depending on what other appliances you buy.
So I can see somebody thinking, yeah, this might be cool, and if this was me, being really overwhelmed by all the stuff on the market. So if somebody's out there thinking, yeah, maybe I want to do this, what kind of questions should they be asking themselves, maybe even before they hit the stores or the websites?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I think really the first thing that you should be asking yourself when you're thinking about getting a home hub is, you know, kind of look at the options on the market. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, sort of the same three or five companies run our lives. But, you know, some people are Google people, some people are Amazon people, some people are Microsoft people. So really think about sort of which company services you use the most. And then, you know, you pick the, I think, pick the hub that gels best with sort of your own use in your life.
Right, because if I get one brand of hub, but I've got other brands of computers and somebody else's speaker, there's no guarantee they're all going to talk to each other. Is that right?
Exactly. Yes. So the goal for these companies, you know, we'll get to privacy and security a little later, but the goal for these companies is to really find another area in which they can, you know, touch your lives. So definitely think about, you know, if you're a shopper, you might want to go with Amazon. If you use a lot of Google services, you might want to go with Google, you know, that sort of thing.
Haley Tsukuyama is with us from the Washington Post. We're looking at the high-tech household, home hubs and thermostats, smart appliances, that sort of thing. And Haley, you just touched on maybe a big worry for a lot of people, the privacy and security concerns. I know there have been stories over the past few years about smart appliances having virtually no security, creating big vulnerabilities. What's out there now? Should we be worried?
You know, it's a very complicated landscape. I think in most cases, if you stick with some of the big brands and you can kind of do maybe a little bit of research and see, you know, if they let you put a password, for example, password protect your appliances, I always recommend anything that will let you put a password on it, you should put a password on it. And then there are also some routers, which is sort of a boring appliance, but now we're definitely seeing, you know, people are introducing routers and introduce security at the network level so that you aren't having to go in and fiddle with everything. You can just do it, you know, once from your router.
Yeah, I feel like I already have enough passwords in my life if I needed a password for my refrigerator functioning or something like that. I think that might put me over a certain limit.
Yeah, I know. There was a day a couple of months ago when I was trying to remember the password for my light bulbs, and I thought, this is no way to live.
Yeah, so you have a smart light system. I mean, do you feel like it makes your life easier, Haley?
There's certainly times when it does feel like magic, right? You know, when you're really comfortable in bed, you maybe fell asleep reading and you just want to tell the lights to turn themselves off. That can be really nice. But setting them up can be kind of a pain. And, you know, I mean, I like to test these things because, you know, I obviously think about where tech is going. But so they have their advantages and they have their disadvantages, I'd say.
I want to bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jason is on the line in Neenah. Jason, hi.
Hi.
Your story, Jason?
I actually work for and an owner of a home automation system, Iris by Lowe's. Not sure if you're familiar with that.
I'm not familiar. Haley?
I'm not super familiar, but I certainly know the name.
Okay, yeah, there's quite a few customers, well over 100,000. And the integration is really simple with Alexa, Google Home, the Nest thermostat, the Philips Hue lights. You can schedule lights to turn on and off certain times of day according to sunrise, sunsets. I actually have 5 cameras on the system that you can view whenever you want. And do recordings, things like that. So it's a safety and it's a security and home automation system in one.
So you've got those cameras there as a security thing?
Yes.
All right, Jason, thanks a lot for calling and sharing your story. And Haley, that's part of what people are looking at here is things like security. So you can look and see if somebody's at the door, who's at the front door. If you're away, you could see if somebody's coming in out of your house. That's part of the appeal here?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We're seeing a lot of interest in smart doorbells and outdoor security cameras. And, you know, a lot of people get sort of indoor, you know, almost like baby monitors, right, that kind of idea, and they point it at their door. So we're seeing a lot of companies jump into that space, both from the tech side and then also from the home security side, as he was mentioning.
Jason, thanks for that call. And I've read, Haley, that this is being looked at as something maybe with potential for seniors, where somebody younger might think, oh, it's not a big deal. I can get up and go down the stairs and lock the door and turn off the lights and things like that. This might be really convenient for seniors who have less mobility and who can, you know, have family members help keep track of some of these things going on.
Yeah, that's certainly something, you know, they've been talking about, you know, that this will let people stay in their homes, in their own homes for longer, which I think is appealing to a lot of people, you know, just so that you know you can, you know, you can check in on your grandmother or your mother remotely. You can see if she locked the door or, you know, you can make sure that the stove's turned off, stuff like that. I think you're right. That certainly has its appeal.
Now, you wrote an interesting piece, Haley, at the other end of the age range, kids growing up in this household where there's this magical character that they can talk to and will talk back to them, whether it's the Amazon Echo or something like that. And this has child psychologists wondering, hey, what is this going to do for kids?
Yeah, it's a really interesting area, sort of the kids tech, because, of course, you know, we're still sort of grappling with, okay, you know, what is having smartphones our whole lives doing to our brains? And now, of course, sort of we have this magic person in this box. I think, you know, some child psychologists are a little concerned that, you know, kids are going to ask the robot questions instead of their friends or instead of their parents. And so they just advise, you know your own kid and kind of decide, you know, what is age appropriate for them, and then you have some times when they're not near the the assistant, and you know maybe make them turn off their own lights.
Haley Tsukuyama is with us. She's a technology reporter at the Washington Post, and we're talking about smart technology in the home. Everything from smart thermostats to internet-connected refrigerators. There are toothbrushes and forks out there, too. Maybe we'll talk about that. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have one of these hubs, like the Amazon Echo or Google Home? Or are you thinking about buying one? Have you been adding smart technology to your home, stuff that's connected via your wireless that you can keep track of with your phone? Or maybe you don't want this technology becoming a part of your daily life. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Haley Tsukuyama is with us, technology reporter for The Washington Post, and we're talking about the ever-increasing variety of smart devices out there on the market. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you been adding smart technology to your home? Do you have a hub like the Amazon Echo? Do you have any questions for our technology reporter about something you have or might get? Are you worried about security issues, privacy concerns? You can join us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go back to our callers now. Steve is with us in East Troy. Steve, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I'm a little older, so I'm in my 60s, and I'm not a big fan of all the technology, but when I want to buy something, I have to get it anyway. I needed to get a new garage door opener, and it has to have everything on it. It costs a lot more. It's not something I want to use. It seems like availability of options are being left out of not doing it.
Steve, thanks so much for that call. Haley, is Steve right? He's seeing it's hard to buy a dumb version of some things like a garage door opener. Is that how the market is changing?
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. I think a lot of companies are looking at these, you know, sort of smart technologies as a way to sell you a service, right? So you might not just get a camera, you might want to get a security service with it, that sort of thing. And so it is getting harder, as Steve said, you know, especially I think we see this a lot with televisions, right? Samsung, I think last year was the first year that they didn't have any dumb televisions that were new models. And so I think that's definitely a concern that I hear from other people.
Thanks a lot for that call, Steve. We'll go next to Sarah online in Appleton. Sarah, hi.
Hi. My husband is a software developer, and Alexa has become essentially a member of our family. We have a 9-year-old and a 2-year-old. And our 2-year-old has figured out how to say Alexa, and he will walk up to her and talk to her. His newest thing is walking up to Alexa and telling her no. But our 9-year-old daughter has, I think, become pretty dependent on her. And I know you had just made a comment about encouraging your kids to get up and turn off lights and things like that. And my daughter will be steps away from the light in the living room and yet ask Alexa to do that. So I just really find it interesting and really do think that there's a lot of research out there as far as that child kind of psychology element of how this is affecting kids.
Yes, Sarah, do you find this fun and cute, worrisome, somewhere in between, a little of both?
Yep, I think it's definitely both. my husband takes things much further than I ever would, being a software developer. Our garage door, our house lights, our stove and fridge, every light in our house, our Christmas tree, almost everything in our house is now automated, our TV, everything. And so I can see, like, the benefit of it, but I worry because we joke that my 2-year-old, that Alexa's his first girlfriend.
Huh.
Because he communicates with her, and he used to call her Pua. We don't know why, but he's figured out how to say Alexa, and we're just kind of, I get a little bit worried about that.
Sarah, thank you so much. Haley, I'm guessing this conversation is going on in more households than just Sarah's, and probably maybe after this holiday season, a lot more beyond that.
Yeah, right. It's certainly something that we're hearing about. You know, as I said, child psychologists are looking to this. You know, they're really kind of interested. Not, I wouldn't say across the board concerned. You know, but definitely interested in sort of what this is going to do to early childhood development. I'm not a parent myself, but I have spoken to a lot of parent advocacy groups, and they say if you are worried, you know, just maybe say, okay, no devices at dinner, or no devices every, you know, second Saturday or something. If you're getting concerned, that it's okay to exert your power as a parent and say, let's do some device-free time.
You know, with all that stuff connected, I definitely worry about security. I mean, even with a password-protected router, nothing is completely safe. I mean, with all that connected, you could pretty quickly, if you had an interested hacker take control, have a high-tech version of the Amityville Horror or Poltergeist in your house.
Well, that's certainly a worry, and I think we're going to see people sort of adopt these things in different ways, right? Right now, a lot of companies are pushing, for example, smart door locks. That, you know, for some people may be a bridge too far. They may say, no, you know, I really want a low-tech key, you know, that goes in my door that I can turn, that I know can't be, you know, locked by someone else somewhere else.
Thanks a lot for that call, Sarah. We're talking to Haley Tsukuyama, a technology reporter at the Washington Post, looking at smart technology in our homes, concerns about it, and the huge variety of products, bewildering almost, out there. Back to your calls now. Mike is with us in Rice Lake. Mike, hi.
Hi. Well, I teach Internet of Things, and what I find so far is that it's more of a novelty than a real breakthrough technology that's going to improve quality of life. But we're on the threshold. It's getting there. What I see holding it back right now is there isn't what I call a killer app that will allow all the devices to function. Right now, each manufacturer has their own interface. Some are using Bluetooth, some use Wi-Fi, some use another type of wireless technology. And for the typical homeowner to try to learn all these different technologies is going to be an impedance to their adoption.
Mike, thanks a lot for that call. And Haley, do you think this is something that's holding people back, that the learning curve may still be a little too high, unless you're somebody like, you know, Sarah's husband, the software developer?
Yeah, I think that's certainly that's a great point. And I think, you know, people have been asking me about holiday gifts, of course, and I keep saying, well, you know, this is fun technology, but make sure that you know the person that you're buying for, right? If they're not the kind of person who's willing to sit down and troubleshoot sometimes, then, you know, maybe it's not for them, or maybe your gift could include your time to set it up as well.
Mike, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. It seems like the one device that I hear people talking about being really useful is the smart thermostat. Can you talk about how that works, Haley?
Sure. So a smart thermostat is, you know, connected. You can control it from your phone. You can also sort of program it to, you know, turn down while you're away in case, you know, you're one of those people who forgets to turn the thermostat down when you leave the house. And you can set it to heat up your house before you get home, which is always nice, especially in colder weather. So that's sort of how that works. And it can also kind of learn your habits and optimize sort of the energy output. So it can save people money if you set it up right.
Right. I mean, I've got a thermostat with a digital timer on it. It's not wireless connected or anything like that. Is it really that big a step, to have it be internet connected or wireless connected? And I guess the advantage was I could, if I knew I was coming home early, turn it on earlier than the timer wanted to.
Yeah, that's essentially sort of what people are thinking. Or, you know, if you have it running on a routine, then maybe you're not necessarily going to fiddle with it if you're a little bit chilly, and so, you know, you're not kind of messing around with the program a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it is sort of a small convenience, but for some people it makes some people really appreciate that kind of freedom. So
I'd like to take another caller now. David is with us in Slinger. David, hi.
Hello. I just wanted to say that my brother's wife has MS, and she's in multiple sclerosis, and she's pretty far along, and they used the smart technology. If she is having trouble, she can say, "Alexa, Grandma's having trouble," and if he's outside, because they live on a farm, it sets off a siren as well as his smartphone, so he can come get her. She can do things that she just couldn't do without it. We actually used it several years ago when my father was dying, and it just gave everyone a lot more mobility, felt more secure. It is truly amazing.
David, thank you so much for sharing that story. We talked a bit about seniors earlier than Haley, but that's an angle I hadn't thought of. People with conditions like MS, people with disabilities, there's a lot of potential here, isn't there?
Yes, there is a lot of potential, and I think a lot of, sort of the medical profession and just a lot of companies are looking at other ways that they can use voice control technology to help people's lives.
Thanks a lot for that call, David. So, Haley, you mentioned gift buying. That's part of why we were talking to you this time of year. Is there a sense like on the market, these are the things that people are buying as gifts when it comes to smart technology?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Of course, even though it would be pretty late to be getting gifts right now, the season isn't quite over. But
well, I
think what we're seeing is a lot
do.
Of. I think a lot of people are kind of looking at this as a self gift, or a gift for their household, so that they can fiddle around with it more. Certainly, with some of the smaller speakers, it could be good for a dorm room or something like that. But I think it's a lot of people giving gifts with good knowledge of who's receiving it.
And Haley, is there a device maybe that's not out on the market this holiday season, but that you're looking forward to at least checking out, something you're excited about on the horizon?
In January, the technology, kind of consumer technology industry as a whole, has a big show in Las Vegas. And so right now I'm getting a lot of pitches about that. And there are a couple of things, there are some like laundry robots. Like, I really hate folding laundry, and so there's a robot that claims it can do that, and it's early days, so we'll see how convenient it actually is. But that's the sort of thing that the labor intensive chores that I would like to shove off onto a robot.
Briefly, have you seen video of this thing folding fitted sheets yet? Because that would be worth some money. All right, we'll keep an eye on that. Haley, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Haley Tsukuyama is a technology reporter at the Washington Post. We've been talking about the growing variety of smart devices on the market. You can still offer up your thoughts, maybe your experiences, why you've gotten something, how it works, or why you're avoiding it over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.